I think this morning, I just want to talk to you for a minute. We're just going to talk. Because there's a message that God laid on my heart this week, and I believe it's a message that He wants you to hear. And it's a simple message. It's not complex. It's not overly deep. It's just coming from God's heart to your heart. Be self-controlled. Did you catch that? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to Himself and called you to His eternal glory through Christ, will Himself restore you and make you strong and make you firm. And make you steadfast. You got it? That's the message. Everybody got it? Everybody understand? If y'all understand, let's go home. We're done. Praise team, would you guys come back up and just close out a little, please? Oh, you think I'm kidding? I don't have anything else. Yes, I do. You're not that lucky. Folks, that's an important message, and it's a message that we typically don't understand. It's a message that we forget. It's a message that God gives to us to give us warning about the things that we face. And the truth is, today, if you're not facing any challenges in your life, if you have no financial concerns, if your health is perfect, if your job or school is great, if all of your relationships are what you want them to be, if you're walking closer to God than you've ever walked with Him before, if you feel His presence in your life like you've never felt Him before, if you stand for Him, speak for Him, are a witness for Him every day, I'm serious. You can go home. This message isn't for you. But if you're like the rest of us, and you face challenges, your health isn't perfect, job, school, same thing. If all of your, the relations, they're not what they should be, if you face the challenges of the world like the rest of us do, then you might want to stick around. You might want to stick around. We're constantly bombarded by challenges in life. Last week, I was down at Eastern Illinois University, and it was family weekend, so we had a great time. We could go and see Dana, and we got to hang out with her and visit with her, and we really had fun. But one of the things that Dana and some of her friends like to do, there's a coffee shop down there, and this coffee shop, I think on Thursday nights or something, they have an open mic night, and people come in, and they do different things, and they sing, and they do all this kind of stuff. A neat little place, and the coffee was pretty good, and we also found out that the people who own it are Christians, and that was kind of a neat conversation. But as I was talking to Dana and talking to one of her friends there at the coffee shop, we got on the topic of spiritual warfare and how for them as students it is so difficult. How for them as students they are constantly bombarded with every kind of temptation and challenge known to man. And even some of the things that they're bombarded with as Christians are things that the school itself upholds. Things that the school says, this is okay, this is an alternative lifestyle. And they have other things and other rules and regulations and other guidelines that they say, this is okay. And the students are just bombarded with this. And it's not just there, it's found in colleges throughout the country. I was just amazed at some of the things that are on the campus. And these young people face these challenges every single day. And there's spiritual battles that take place every day for their souls. The angels in heaven are battling against Satan's legions. You know, today as we have church, today as we're gathered in this place and we come together as a body of believers, did you know there's something going on that we can't see? Battles being fought in heavenly realms over this city, over this church, battles for your soul. Because the enemy does not want to give up. And he is going to launch his legions against the angels of God to try and win. How does he do it? He takes one by one by one by one by one. And each one of you is important to God. And each one of you is worth that battle that's being fought. And God is sending the angels on your behalf. Spiritual warfare, my friends, it happens. And we live in a world where Satan runs wild, where Satan deceives the masses. He disguises sin as beauty. He disguises sin as something fun. Oh, this is great, let's go do it, or this is a good time. No, it's really not. And temptation becomes a part of life. You know what the greatest trick Satan ever pulled is? The greatest trick that Satan has ever done, and he's pulled it off, and even in the lives of Christians, all too often it's there. The greatest trick he's done is to convince the people, or to convince people that he doesn't exist. We look at God, and you know what? When problems come our way and when troubles come our way, we say, God, help us. I've not really run into too many people say, hey, Satan, you want to step in here? Now, there are some, and they're scary. But the greatest thing he's done is he's convinced us that he doesn't exist. And even though in our mind we may say, oh, no, Pastor, that's not true, we live our lives that way. We live our lives in such a way that we want to believe in God and we want to follow God and we want to do what God wants to do, but we don't realize the battles taking place in spiritual realms. We don't realize that Satan is fighting to tear your family apart. He's fighting to get to your soul. He's fighting to get you to do things and to reject God. And if enough stuff comes against you, what happens? I don't believe in God anymore. And we give up. And that's a shame. Have you been there? Have you wondered? Lord, I pray and I pray and I pray. Why aren't you answering? Lord, I want you to do this. Lord, just in my life, make this difference. Lord, intercede in this situation. And I don't want this one to die. And I don't this and I don't that. And God, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. And when he doesn't do it the way we want him to, we real simply say, he can't be there. There must not be one. I give up. You know, when you lose in any endeavor, whether it's sports or spiritual, you lose when you give up. That's it. And when you give up and when you lose, somebody else is going to win. And if you give up on God, if you give up on Jesus, if you surrender and say, Lord, I'm done, Satan wins. Folks, this is eternal stuff. Be self-controlled. Be alert. Remember, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Every single day. You ever seen those programs? Dustin tells me I watch too much Animal Planet. I love Animal Planet. I really do. And have you ever seen those shows, though, where they show the lions and they're out in Africa or wherever they're at, and the lions are after these great big huge water buffalo? And you're looking at the lion. Lion's not small, but next to that water buffalo, the lion's not that big. And you see this hungry lion, and he's sneaking through the brush. And he's looking, and they have all the cameras and these different angles. I have no idea how they do it. And then it's almost like you're looking through the lion's eyes, and he's looking at all of the water buffalo. And what he's doing is he's looking for weaknesses. Maybe this is an old one who can't keep up with the herd. Maybe this is a young one that's just lazy, and or maybe just a young one that's just wandered away from mama. Maybe it's just one by itself. But he's looking, and he's trying to find that weakness. And once he finds the weakness, what happens? He pounces. And he attacks and he pounces, and that one that he singled out, that one that he said, this is the weakest, this is the one I can take down, he destroys it, and then he begins to eat on it until it's all gone. Christ, in the passage I've shared, by the way, is 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 10. And in the passage that I shared, Christ has given this warning to Peter to watch out against Satan, to be on guard, to realize that Satan is there and he's waiting to pounce and he's waiting to hurt. Folks, we must all be on guard constantly, because Satan is going to look at you. He's going to look for your weakest spot. By the way, we have them. My weakness isn't your weakness. Your weakness isn't my weakness. And where I can stand firm and where I can stand strong and where I can be steadfast, that's maybe not where you are. Satan looks and he sees where we're weak. And I always refer to him as coming in through the back door. So he's coming in from the back here. We never see it coming until it's too late, because we're not on guard. We're not being self-controlled in this area in our life. And Satan picks out your weakness, whatever it may be. And I'm not going to sit here this morning and point fingers and say, this is your weakness, because I really don't know your weakness. God does, and Satan can find it. And what he does is then he pounces. By the way, if you're sitting here this morning And you're thinking, well, the pastor's not talking to me because I don't have any weaknesses. Man, I got guards up all around me 24/7. I'm protected. I got angels doing battle for me. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have any weaknesses. Guess what? That's your weakness. That's your weakness. And Satan will use it against you. If we walk around with our noses in the air and we become extremely pious and holier than thou because we got God guarding us and God watching over us, it becomes a weakness, and Satan will exploit it. Don't get me wrong, folks. It's okay to understand that God is in your life. It's okay to understand that he's a source of strength and that he is there for you. But if you become so pious about it that you raise yourself above everybody else, man, Satan's going to use that for just nothing but terrible things. And you will fall. be alert. 1 John 1:8 says this, if we claim to be about sin, and that's a weakness, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Whatever would take us away from God is sin. Do you agree? Somebody nod ahead or say amen or do something, okay? Thank you. Whatever would take us away from God is sin. Anything that would take our focus off of Him and we become focused on it, that becomes sin. And we lift up idols in our lives. Did you know that? I can't do this for God because I got to do this. I'll never forget, on the reservation, I would talk to Indians at different times, and I'd say, hey, you know, I really missed you in church Sunday. And I'd ask, I'd say, why weren't you in church, or something like this? And this answer, it always hit me funny, and they'd look at me and say, I had to stay home and take care of the house. Where was it going? It became more important than church. And we do, folks. We lift up idols and we make our own false idols. Anything, I don't care what it is, anything that takes your focus away from God, anything that keeps you from walking close to Him, anything that you put between you and Him, that is an idol. And that's sin. And that's what Satan's going to use to hurt you. Oh, man, I don't want to be hurt. I don't either. But we have this roaring lion out there. The passage I shared says, be alert. And in other places, that same word in Scripture, the word is vigilant. It says, be on guard, constantly watching out for. Be self-restrained so that you don't fall into a sense of false security. You know when I get the most nervous about the church? Some of you that know me well know this. I get the most nervous about the church when everything's going perfect. When everything is just great, nobody's arguing, nobody's upset, there's no dissension, there's no sickness, finances are great, everything is just wonderful with the church, I start getting nervous. Because I know what's going to happen. And Satan's going to attack. I also know that means the church needs to get busier. Because we're not doing enough for God. This roaring lion. That implies this. His Satan's very violent and insatiable thirst for prey. Just like what a hungry lion has. And he preys on our sin. His desire is to devour us. And it's to entangle us in worldly care and snares and get us so distracted from God that he can finally pounce on us and end it. What do you mean, Pastor, by end it? I mean I die? No. Oh, no. No. Because he gets you to walk away from God. And he gets you focused in another direction. And here's what happens. You leave the church. Oh, you may leave the church and go to another church. And at that church, you start bad-mouthing the church you left. Boy, those people at Laurel Street, they're bad, 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 bad. You know, I don't like that. And somebody comes into church and starts bad-mouthing the church they left, I really don't like hearing it. Because that's how Satan's doing his work. You get disgruntled and the enemy is winning and you leave the church and maybe you don't ever go to church again. I'm not going to church because I went to one once and that pastor, he said something about my mama. I don't know. What's it take? He looked at me one Sunday and he pointed his finger, Barry. I can do that. He'll be back next week. I didn't point to Barb. But what happens? We get upset. And we leave, and what we're doing is we're leaving God. And Satan is standing there the whole time. He's saying, all right, yeah, go, man. And it's eternal. It's eternal. That's what this is about. We're not talking today about temporal things. We're talking about eternal things. Can people turn their backs and walk away from God? Yeah, they can. And they shouldn't. I remember on the reservation, and this is how easy it works. There was a young lady, and I've shared this story before, and she was in the youth group. She'd come to church as long as I was there. I remember her being in church and talking to her. She was started dating a young man. And this young man's family, his grandfather was a medicine man. And this father was into what's called Native American religion. And Native American religion is filled with all kinds of rituals and things that they do. And there's medicine, or not medicine, but there's these things that are just false and all this kind of stuff. And she decided to start dating this guy. And I said, you know what? You realize who he is. You realize what he stands for. She says, oh, don't worry, Pastor. Don't worry. I'm going to see that he comes to Jesus. By the way, salvation dating is not a good idea. And he says, no way will anyone or anything ever take me away from God. My, how things changed. Within 6 months, she was living with him. She was pregnant. They finally had a baby. The man that she would never follow made sure she started going to all the Native American rituals and religions. And folks, her little baby got sick. And got real sick. And because she was now in Native American religion, she couldn't take that baby to a white man doctor. Oh, you can't do that. And I remember this so well. Because the baby cried constantly. And I'm not talking about just a normal baby cry because it's hungry or it needs a diaper change. This was a baby that was hurting. And she cried and she cried and she cried. And the medicine man, he grabbed some roots somewhere. And he stuck them in a bottle and put a little water with them and shook them up. Said, here, give this to the baby. And he offered things to the Indian gods. And they did a squaw dance, and they did a yabache, and they did all of these Native American worship rituals, and the baby continued to cry and to cry and to cry, and the baby wouldn't eat, but she would cry, and this went on and went on, and it went on for a number of weeks. And I'll never forget the family finally coming to our house and said, Pastor, please, would you come and talk to them? And I headed to the house. And she wasn't there, and the baby wasn't there. And they'd taken the baby to the hospital, finally. So I headed into town. By the way, the husband was out on a drunk. His baby, his child, has been taken to the hospital. He's out on a drunk. And I walked in the hospital and I saw the family and I saw the mother sitting there. And the doctors had taken the baby immediately into surgery because the baby had a twisted bowel. And I don't know the right name for that. But the baby had a twisted bowel, and the doctor said if we'd have gotten to it early, we could fix it. And after several hours, the doctor came out, and he said, she's dead. She didn't make it. The mom says, I want to hold the baby, and the doctor brought it out and said, okay, and laid the baby in her arms. And she's sitting there holding this lifeless baby. One that I had seen as a vibrant child. Why? Because she failed to be alert. She failed to realize that Satan would use any kind of tool to lead her away from God. Her husband finally showed up at the hospital, and he was drunk, and you could smell the beer on his breath. And his father and his mother were with him, and they came in and they saw the dead baby, and he looked at her and said, this is your fault because you brought her to the white man's doctor. Folks, this is real. Your enemy, Satan, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Young man, I knew, I'm not going to tell the whole story here, but he loved the Lord. He did. He loved the Lord, and he had a great job, and he was taking care of his family. And his job became a little more demanding, and he started seeing how he could move up through the company. And the only thing he had to do to move up through the company really was spend less time with God and more time with the company. If he would do that, he could get promotions. If he'd do that, he'd have more money. And he used to be focused on family and God and did a great job. And as he started moving up through the company, there was less time with family. There was no time with God. To the point that he essentially walked away totally from God. Folks, Satan knows your weakness. Verse 9 in our passage says this. It said, resist him. Talking about resisting Satan, standing firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are going through the same kind of sufferings. There is no suffering, no challenge, no temptation. There's nothing that you're going to go through that somebody else around the world hasn't gone through or isn't going through right now. And by the way, if you don't think you're going through any challenges right now, if you don't think you're being attacked by Satan right now, you will be. You will be. Because he's not going to let you go. Resist him. James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves to God. That's the first thing that you've got to do. You got to submit yourself to God. You know what? God is there and he cares about us. And we submit to his will. We submit to his authority. We recognize him as our king. We recognize him as our Lord and Savior. And we submit to him. And God, what we do, we're going to pray about. And we want it to be within your will. And we want to move the direction you want us to move. And you're going to be number one. That's our step. Submit yourselves to God. And then the second part in James 4:7, it says this, and then resist the devil. Submit yourself to God and then resist the devil. And you know what it says? And he will flee from you. What? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Folks, it's a daily, daily challenge. And you decide in your life every day what you're going to do. You're going to either let Satan whip you or you're going to whip him. And if you submit to God's authority, you submit yourself to him, and you resist the things that Satan lays out in front of you, Satan's going to go to an easier target. We resist him. Pastor says, standing firm in the faith. Here's the thing. We stand firm in the faith and remember what our very gracious God has done for us. And the faith we have in him, that sustains us. When you have these challenges come your way, when you're praying and you don't think God's answering, when you're doing these things and you don't think God's there, one of the first things you need to do is remember how much He's been there in the past. And if you have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, if you've got Him in you and you know you've got Him in you and the Holy Spirit is abiding in you, listen, it's not hard to sit there in difficult times and say, Lord, I saw You do this in my life and I saw You do this in my life, and I know You've been there and You carried me through this challenge and You carried me through this struggle, and no matter what, Lord, You've always been there, and I don't understand what's going on here. I don't understand why I'm not getting through this wall and through this battle, but Lord, I can be faithful to You because You've been there in the past and You've promised to be there in the present and in the future, and I trust You, God. Folks, that is an awesome promise, and it's what God has told us. And we stand firm in the faith based on who He is in our life and how we have met Him and been with Him. I get excited. There's challenges there. There's walls to be knocked down. And I can't knock them down, but I serve a loving, living God who has the ability to break down any wall, any barrier, any challenge, anything that would harm me. God is greater than that. Folks, somebody agree. Do you understand how great that is? Resist Him. Standing firm in the faith, remember our gracious God and the things that He's done, and the faith that we have will sustain us. The power that Satan has, and I want you to hear this, the power that Satan has really only applies to the unbelieving. If we believe in God, if we trust God, if we're following God, if we're allowing God to be in our lives, Satan is not going to be able to harm us. The only power he has is the power we give him. That's it. He can't hurt us if we resist him and refuse to give him that power. Where's he kicking you in the teeth, folks? Why are you letting him do it? Why do we let him win? Faith gives us strength and gives strength to our prayer. And our prayer is the greatest instrument we have against the foe. We must not doubt our faith. John 1:6 says that we must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. How do we pray? We pray believing. We pray believing. We pray through faith. And when I talk to God, I'm not just wasting time. I'm talking to my Heavenly Father. And He's listening. And He speaks to my heart, and He speaks to your heart. And He says, I'm with you through this. And I'll give you strength. Be encouraged in that. In verse 10, we see that there is an end to the suffering that we face. It says, and the God of all grace. What is grace? Grace is something that is freely given, unmerited. We can't earn it, we can't buy it, we can't pay for it. Grace is God's love poured into us. Grace is God's salvation given to us, asking nothing. It's free. It's His gift. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while. Now listen to this. He doesn't say you're not going to have suffering. He doesn't say you're not going to have challenges. But He says, after you have suffered for a little while, will Himself restore you. You catch that? Who restores us? God. After a little bit of suffering for a little while, He will restore you. Lord, it's been a long time. This little while bit, you know, how long is a little while? He will restore you. And the thing you can be sure of is there's an end to it. There's an end to the suffering. There's an end to the challenges. There's an end to the things that are just eating at you, and an end to the things that Satan's trying to scratch away and get at you. And the Lord Himself will restore you. You know what that means? That means to be lifted up. To be restored is to be lifted up, to be encouraged, to be rebuilt, to be made whole again. That's what it is to be restored. And when God restores us, it's a total restoration. Are we going to face new challenges? Yeah, we might. But we've learned, and God is there. Because God Himself, it says, will restore you, and He will make you strong. He will make you firm, and He will make you steadfast. I hope you caught that. Where are you at today? What do you feel are the negatives and the things that are bringing you down? They're only temporary, because God will restore you. Is your faith weakening because of the challenges that you're facing? The Lord will restore you. And you know what? You may be just an instant away from that restoration. You may be just an eye flicker from feeling that, because that's who God is. Would you bow your heads for me, please? You may just be an instant away from something great. You may just be a heartbeat from God turning things around in your life. He's going to do it. And He's going to do it in just a moment, in just an instant. Have you given up? He never quits on you, but have you quit on Him? What is it? What is it that hurts you and your life? What about your faith? What, or maybe even who, is robbing your joy? Folks, is the lion about to pounce? Or will you allow yourself to be lifted to safety by the one who binds the lion and seals his mouth? Is your faith weakening? This is a time to be renewed. To be renewed in spirit through the Spirit of God. The passage I read closes out. It says, to Him be the power forever and ever. I hope you can pray that. As we close this morning, I'm going to pray for you, and if your faith is weak, I'm going to pray that you become strong. That God is with you. That He takes away the doubt and the discouragement. Some of you have been in a battle a long time, and God is there. Heavenly Father, we believe Your word. We believe, Lord, that You see every challenge that we face, that You know everything that is before us. And Father, even today, as You look through this congregation, You know the hearts of those who are suffering. You know those who are struggling with issues in life that just keeps dragging them lower and lower, and they're fighting the battle, Lord, but they need some help. And today, Father, I pray that they would have the strength to call out to You. That they would stand firm in the faith. That they would resist Satan and resist the things that he's put out there to destroy them. that their faith would make their prayers strong because they pray believing that you have the solution and the answers. And Father, we suffer but for a little while, and then you yourself restore us. Lord, we pray for restoration today. We need it, as we need you. And Father, I just lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.